So last time, man, I'll tell you what, let's just pray real quick. Let's get started. Father God, I thank you for this group today. Help us all to communicate with each other, to learn of you, to grow from you. In Jesus' name, amen. On these life groups, I'm trying to be a little less formal than we were in my last rounds of life groups. Sometimes I would have like 5 points and a little less formal. And last time we talked about, that God loves us. And I harp a lot on that, on love and a relationship with God, because these are why we were here. This is why we were created, was for relationship. And you can't have a relationship if you don't believe the person loves you or wants a relationship with you, or that you're disqualified from having a relationship with them. Now, I've talked about it before, but I want to remind, I just kind of feel a little prompt there. I know where I want to go today, but we'll jump into that. But I think when we grow up in church, as I did, most of us did. Well, Carl, you did grow up in church. Not always. Do what? Not always in the church that was preaching a good word. Carl's got, we've talked many times about his church days, the good and the bad and the ugly. But I began to seek God about, what's the deal here? Why are we here? I began to seek God about something else, and he began to talk to me about, really, it was about raising my son, because Jordan was easy, man. She required no effort. Awesome. So I got a warm up before I got Christian.
How much difference is there
in their ages? Only 2 years, 2.5. No, 3 years. One's in 99 and one's in 01, but it's 2.5 years. But anyway, God began to talk to me about, fathers do this with their sons. And I began to go, but, you're my father and I'm your son. Why am I here? And then the Holy Spirit, over the course of many years, it's the more you learn about God, the more you can learn about God. Does that make sense? The better you get at math, the more math you can do. That's why they don't teach complex trigonometry to first graders, because they hadn't got to algebra yet. You know what I'm saying? Their minds can't even take it, even if they had. You've got to work your way up. And so it was over a course of time in many situations that God began to explain to me that if you really want to know why you're here, look at the world before sin. And we existed in a perfectly created world whose sole purpose, the wind, the trees, the gravity that held you to the earth, the sole purpose was to make a place where love and fellowship could happen unhindered between man and God. And that was always the point. And especially growing up in church, you hear so much about God's plan for your life and the gifts you have and the talents and ministering and sharing the gospel. And listen, there's, of course, obviously nothing wrong with those things. But God did not put people on the planet to work. Work is something we now have to do because sin exists. But honestly, who would pastor a church if there were no sinners? You know what I'm saying? I would not have to study healing if there was no
sickness.
Yeah. In a world without sin, there was just fellowship. And it was individual. It was not us together. It was me and God together. That's the one thing about God, being God, being all things everywhere at all times, is he can have a completely intimate personal relationship with an individual and it not distract him from any other individual relationship in his life. You know what I'm saying? I can't have intimate individual relationships with more than one person. That one's reserved for Dixie. And if I were to try, I would have to decrease my relationship with Dixie to put more time into someone else. God doesn't have to do that. For every single person in the planet, he is completely available all the time. And should the entire planet of billions of people call on his name at once, He could answer everybody together, never get a confused answer, never call Dan John by accident. Every relationship would be completely personal. And that's the magnificence of God. And if we try to have Christianity without relationship, you lose the purpose. It's not the full measure. It's not the real deal. That's why I talk about relationships so much, and the biggest hindrance to relationship with God, the only true hindrance, is sin. It's one of the things God showed me. It's not that God hides himself. And I think we talked about that last time, but even if we didn't, God's not hiding. He's not, man, if you think you can make it all the way up here, I'll share a little wisdom with you. But that's a long climb. Let's see if you've got it in you. He's not that. That's no good father. Makes the road of relationship between him and his children difficult on purpose. No good father. But everything between you and God is sin. All the things that are wrong, all the things that hinder you understanding God or hearing from him well, is just sin. It's one of the reasons why God corrects anyone he loves. Because if the more sin you move out of your life, the clearer the relationship becomes. Make sense? And so that's why it's so important. So I wanted to mention a couple of things about relationship today. Just stuff we know. Even if you've had a friend, a casual friendship, or you're married, like you think Dan and I are, the relationship principles are still the same. I wanted to bring out a couple of things. A relationship is built on your ability to relate to one another. Does that make sense? Now, I know Dan very little. I know a lot about him. You know, he used to work out at Living Word or help them out there. I know his wife, Anna, but Anna and I don't hang out and chat all the time. You know what I'm saying? I don't know a lot about Anna. Carl may know more about Anna because Anna worked with the maintenance crew for a while. But I don't know if you were on staff and she was part of that anyway, because she's been over in the office for quite a while now. For a long time. I'm thinking maybe 2 years, but I bet it's been more like 8 or 9. So, you know what I'm saying? But now Carl and I have sat and talked a lot about a lot of things. My relationship with Carl is better because we have more ground to relate on. Same thing with God. If you want a relationship with God, you've got to relate to God. But God does not change. He doesn't move off of himself away from holiness or righteousness to interface with you in the world system. The world system being the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life. He doesn't do that. So if you want to go closer to God, you have to move closer to him. And you'll always be as close to God as you want to be. Since he does not hide, the distance between the two is not his choice. See, he already opened that distance up when he died on the cross. You know, back in the old days, they have the tabernacle and everything. And you could not just walk up on the glory of God and hang out and chat with him. It did not work that way. I mean, the priests went in once a year to that ark, and if they did that wrong, they dropped dead. Some of them did. But when God tore that veil in that temple, when his son died, that signified that separation was done with. Since the price for whatever was wrong in your life has been paid, that road is free and clear. How far you travel down that, though, is up to you. If you want to know God, you've got to begin to try to know God. You know what I'm saying? I could not have asked Dixie out on one date and just said, now let's get married because we're in love. If I wanted to get to know her, we're going to have to go out on a few more dates. And you know, the first date's a little awkward. You don't know what about them. You don't know about, you're all self-conscious. They're all self-conscious. You don't know. Just weird. But you work with somebody for 3, 4, 5, 10 years. Man, y'all can sit down and talk all the time. You may have gotten a good, be so good friends with somebody that y'all could sit beside each other for 3 hours, not say a word, and think you had a good time. You know what I'm saying? Like, we hung out today. What'd y'all say? Not a single word. Because y'all are just buddies. You know what I'm saying? That's fine. They're just, you know, that happens. But that's because you begin to establish common ground. If you want to know God, you've got to begin to learn about God. And you know, I don't want to just go back to the dating thing, but all the time. But you know why I asked Dixie out is because I wanted to know her. You know what I'm saying?
That's why any guy asks.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. No one goes, my gosh, I can't stand that girl. We need to go out on a date. Nobody would do that. And these are almost silly examples. But there are people who don't want to know God any better than they do. And that's why they don't. It's important to realize that. Now, knowing God being the foundation, I'm not just talking about knowing God like it's a Christian principle. You need to have a good relationship with God. And I'm going to define what I mean like that because we hear that term in church all the time and it's not really defined well. What does that mean, a relationship with God? I didn't understand it. And I grew up in this church. I had no clue what that meant. I was like, what does that mean? But anyway, what I'm saying is I wanted to get to know Dixie. So I had to have a heart to get to know her. I had to say, I think I want to be better friends with her. I want to be closer to her. There are people who don't. Generally, that's pride. Even sinners will come close to God. So there are some times where you feel unworthy and you don't want to come close to God. But almost most of the time, most often, those who are not close to God know that they will not submit some sections of their life to his authority. That's why they stay away. The worst sinners in the world can run to God when they see his anointing, feel that presence, see something in the Word. They'll run. They'll run fearlessly, knowing good well that they are jacked up from head to toe. But even some phenomenal Christians, and I know them today, they keep God at arm's length because they're not ready to give up parts of their life. It's a choice. But, you know, we should know that God wants to be with us. That should be obvious. But just to throw out a few other things, besides the Garden of Eden, the fact that this divine perfection, the stars, the solar system, all of it, to create a place for you to interface with God in a good way. Set that aside. Even when man sinned, we know that the reason he hid himself in the garden is because, sin or not, Jesus was coming to talk. Not to condemn, but to talk. John 3:16, it's the gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that you could have everlasting life. You don't have to die. But the next verse explains the heart. For he says, he didn't send his Son in the world to condemn it. He's not here to condemn you. Now take the tabernacle. When God said, all right, everybody's sinned. You guys have screwed up. We're going to have to start up some kind of system of the law here for a little while so I can teach you guys about right and wrong. Up till then, even Paul said it, there's no such thing as wrong when there is no law. Now, it was immoral, but, I mean, how can you hold somebody accountable for something you've never told them was wrong? You know what I'm saying? So God said, let's set this up. And even that, he said, bring all the tribes and camp them in a circle. You know, this one here, this one here, this one here. And you put my tabernacle right in the middle of the camp. That's where I want to be, in the midst of the people. That's how God was all the time. He wanted to be with the people. Don't forget that. Your mind and your heart will always fuss with you. I say your mind and your heart, your flesh will fuss with you in your mind that you don't belong close to God. Now, when I used to deal with pornography all the time, I would have this thing where, all right, oh God, I looked at pornography. Now I'm not going to pray or read my Bible for a day to kind of let that sin dwindle down a little bit. Then God will let me be close to him. Like that makes any sense. But I did it. I did it all the time. Like I wasn't committing 88 other sins that day in some other way, mainly overeating. I mean, I'm 330 pounds. You don't get that way eating righteously. Or at least I was at the time. That's not righteous eating. I am fulfilling the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eye, man. If I see it or smell it, let's eat it. But, you know, God does not consider your sin. So, and we already hit on that. You know, God, He's individual. He wants to be with you individually. I don't think some people realize that. They say, you know, I go to church, I have a relationship with God, I read my Bible, I pray. But that's not, relationship is different. You got to be able to stop, let God in, listen to Him, ask Him a question, listen for a response. There's got to be some give and some take there. Now, God does not give in and compromise with you. You know what I'm saying? That's not who He is. If He did, you could no longer be serving Him as God because He would not be God. He cannot be anything other than what He is. Otherwise, He is not perfection and He is not a God. So you understand what I'm saying there. You've got to give and there's got to be some sacrifice and some time there and some things, but just to sit down and say, I spent 30 minutes with God today doing what? Well, I read, and then I sang some songs, and then I prayed in the Holy Spirit, and then I left. Yeah, but what did God talk to you about? Did you ask Him any questions? Better yet, did you come and say, in this time, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to know about you? You know, God will teach you things about Him that He won't tell anybody else. It's just for the two of you. Just personal between the two. And I think it's hard for us to consider that sometimes when we get too much religion in the way we see God. Does that make sense? I'm getting a little off my notes, but I think that's fine. I just wrote down a couple of things to share, but really I love talking about God and a relationship with God, so I'm just sharing some of those things. And here we go. I want to throw this out there. Exclusivity. I know a lot of people who tell me, Chad, I spend time in prayer every day. Really? Yeah. Every day on my way to work, I got a long commute, you know, 30 minutes. I'm spending time in prayer. I'm on down. I pray in my truck on the way to work out. I pray while I'm working out. I pray coming back. I pray on the way to work. Sometimes I pray when I'm taking Christian to school. You know what I'm saying? I pray on the way up here to Life Group. Pray on the way home. But that's not intimacy. And I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and I've made this reference several times, probably in life groups before. I'm not trying to be weird, but you don't take your wife to a restaurant, y'all strip down and make love on the table. Because that is an intimate act between two people in private. It's not shared. It's not corporate. It's not an orgy. That's not love. See, love, relationship, the more exclusive it is, the more valuable it is to you. You prove how valuable a relationship is by its exclusivity. That's why Dixie and I don't date other people, because no one else is as valuable to me as her. And anybody who says, as you see on TV, or I guess there's those people in the world, they're like, I'm in an open relationship. What even, really? What does that even mean? That's just weird, man. That's not even normal. But people do it all the time. God is not in an open relationship with you. Okay? Now, when Dixie and I were getting to know each other, we hung out in groups. 5-10 people going to eat. We went and ate. Eventually, instead of talking from each other across the table, we sat next to each other in the group. And then we went with some smaller groups. But eventually, we went out on our own date, just the two of us. Does that make sense? If you're going to have a relationship with God, you have to plan it, be intentional, be committed, and spend time undistracted, alone, in prayer, in fellowship, communing with God, back and forth. Tell God how you feel. Tell God what you think. I'd be reading the Word and say, God, I don't get this. Now, you may not show me this right now, or you may be trying to tell me right now and I can't hear, but I want to understand this Scripture because you're in here. And if I understand it, I understand you. Help me find it. I'll pray in the Holy Spirit. He'll show me something. Maybe it's a week later. But I'm trying. I'm looking. I'm you know what I'm saying? I'm digging in. And that trying grows. It changes things. One of the things that's so cool about God is He's really not concerned about your procedure. He looks at the heart. When I first started having a relationship with God, I would read two or three chapters out of my Bible, and I would sing a couple of worship songs, and then I'd pray in the Holy Ghost. And man, I'm counting down the minutes. I'm counting the minutes. In fact, I read my Bible for 6 months, didn't get a single thing out of it. Nothing. But I kept coming. Poorly, I kept coming poorly, begrudgingly, didn't really want to. Why is this not working out? But even with my foolish and immaturity and ignorance and decent motive at best, God still took that, what little was right in there, and grew it. Because that's the kind of God He is. He's not looking for perfection. I think I was sharing with somebody the other day, and I heard Keith Moore was sharing this. This is a funny thing. And he was talking about, he knew this guy that was a decent musician. He had had some success and did a little touring here and there. And this guy had gotten saved and wanted to learn about God, but he's just a worldly guy. You know, he's with his band buddies. You know how that is. It's drugs and women and booze and this and that. So they get done playing their band, and he doesn't want to go back and get with all the ladies. So he gets a joint, he smokes it up, and goes and reads his Bible. Now we are like, what's going on? But what Brother Keith was saying is, that's the best that guy had to offer right then. He said, God began to teach him. God began to work in his life. God began to move him into being a new man. The Word began to speak to him. Sitting down, smoking his weed, and reading his Bible. Because God is not, He's looking at the heart. Now, He doesn't want you to go smoke weed and read your Bible. But if that's where you're at, and you're trying to move your life and focus it on the light, He will begin to work with you there. Now, He won't come and dump a million tons of revelation on you there because you need to get some sin out of the way because it hinders fellowship. But if that's the best you have for your first date, He will call you on up from there. You know what I'm saying? Because that's who He is. I say all this stuff to remind us that we need to take time to have a relationship with God every single day. In that relationship, there is strength. There is a lot of accountability because you know when you're trying to bull God. You'd be like, God, I love you with all my heart, kind of. You know you're not doing right. I'm telling you, that's one thing. You cannot hide in the presence of God. There is no hiding. It is pure, exposed nakedness of every motive. God knows it, and you know it, and you know He knows it. And He knows you know He knows it. Everybody knows everything. You know what I'm saying? That's what the presence is. That's one of the things I love about it. There's no hiding. I mean, I can come into the presence of God and be like, God, I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I said that. I'm acting like an idiot. Please forgive me. Let's go home. Let's do good. You got to work it. Got to work with you there. But so I want to throw this question out to you guys. Do you, I don't need you to answer it. It's more of a rhetorical question. Do you take time to just stop? Shut a door, get in your bedroom, get in your living room, get in complete alone, turn off the phone and just stop. Turn on a little worship music, fine, whatever. And say, God, my Father who loves me, I am here right now. And You are here. What should we share right now? I will stay and You will stay. And even if we can't exchange words because I'm dull of hearing, I'm here for You. If you can begin to do that every day, God will begin to change your life. And let me tell you what's in those changes. Revelation, faith, understanding, favor, peace of mind, healing for your body. All these great and precious promises in the Word are there. But the people of the world don't access them. And if you're living like the world, you cannot access them. And something, I know this principle, but I really didn't hear somebody say it till this last week. I was listening to some podcast, and he said your relationship with God is the same level as your faith in God. They're the same. You cannot have faith in God more than you know it. And you can't know Him more than you got faith in Him. And it was a strong thing because he was talking about receiving from God. He's like, sometimes you don't understand why you're not receiving. He goes, but you know so little about Him, you just don't have that much faith in Him. He made the example. You came out of the bank with $1,000 in your hand. And you're like, man, I need to be over here in 10 minutes, but I've got to take this money somewhere else. And you see a stranger. Would you please take this money for me down the street? No one would do that. You can't trust that stranger. You don't know who they are. I mean, me, your own brother. You ain't going to trust him either. No, it just depends. You may know somebody well enough not to trust them. But he goes, nobody does that. Because you can't trust who you don't know. You can't believe in what you don't understand. God, this Word, the Word of God that explains what we should believe and what we shouldn't. The presence of God, all these things are His. They are His domain. We talk about the power of the presence, the power of the Word. We're talking about being able to speak to mountains to move them, but not if you don't believe God will move a mountain for you. And not if you don't know Him well enough to move a molehill. He certainly ain't going to move the mountain. You know what I'm saying? You really don't, you may not believe He even wants to be close to you. Because we say it all the time, I'm forgiven of all my sins. But in the back of your mind, you're thinking, but God still holds them against me. I've been there. I lived there. I know how that is. One of the principles I share with many people, and I want to share it with you guys, and Carl's probably heard it before in the life group, is about conviction and condemnation. They are two different things. You see, conviction is the light calling you, speaking to you, and calling you out of the darkness you're in. You could see you're in darkness, and it's the light saying, come up. Be holy. Put that sin aside. Stop acting that way. Come and pray. Come and spend time with me. Change your words. There is a better version of you. Come up, and you can have it. See, that's conviction. When you're being led out of darkness to focus on light. But see, condemnation is the darkness speaking to you, saying you've got no right to the light because of what you've done. You cannot go any closer to the light because you don't deserve it. See, that's condemnation. That's wrong. You can't let that come in, have its way. It'll destroy fellowship. I have not always treated Dixie right, and I won't always. I'm going to screw that up some. Maybe today. I don't know. I might have already screwed it up. I might have mistreated her in some way, and I just haven't figured it out yet. I don't know. But I'm telling you this, I'm still confident that even if I had, Dixie's going to love me. We'll fix it, and we're going to continue on. So people are not that confident with God. I say that because these are common misconceptions about who God is and about what you can do. The Word of God is a part of a relationship. Worship, prayer in the natural, pray over your church, your government, your spouse, your friends, other nations, praying in the Holy Ghost. Kenneth Hagin said, if you pray out mysteries, he said to them, you pray out those mysteries today and they become revelations tomorrow. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray, pray, pray. Nothing wrong with that, but sometimes you need to listen. Sometimes you need to ask God, what do you want me to know right now? What do you want me to think? What do I need to do about my finances? Why am I not healed in this area? God's not withholding wisdom. He's not saying, well, if you pray long enough, I'll give you a little dash of understanding. We'll see if you can make it that far. He's not that kind of God. He's good. It's the foundation of everything about God. He is good. Holding to your word is good. God holds to His word. Helping those in need is good. So God does that too. Having compassion on people who don't understand but need to is good. God has compassion. knowing that some people are just not ever going to get it right in some areas, and you just need to overlook it and love them anyway, that's good. God does the same thing with you. The foundation is He's good. So take it in and let it be present in your life. Let Him be good to you. Let Him be good. Clear the sin out so He can love you like He's always wanted to. And when it comes to dealing with sin, God will help you. I was talking to Dixie just the other day about it. It's like, you know, I had all this pornography in my life and many other problems. And I was still growing. Now, you guys know I've taught the principle many times that when it comes to the flesh and the spirit, one grows at the expense of the other. You cannot flourish in holiness and in unrighteousness at the same time. If you're becoming more unrighteous, your spirit man is losing. And if you're becoming more righteous, or I say walking out that righteousness, it's because you're neglecting the flesh in some area. And you're growing. I flourished in learning about God and having sin for just a little until one began to outweigh the other and I began to move that direction. But God knew what I was doing. This is where Paul said, if you walk in the light, if you look for the light, a man whose thoughts are on the light, on righteousness, can move towards righteousness. You know what moving towards the light, moving towards walking is? It means you're going towards something. That means you haven't completed the journey yet. So if you're walking into righteousness, towards the light, where are you? You're not in the light. You're not in righteousness currently. You're in the dark. You're in sinful living. And you're moving that direction. See, that was the deal with my life, is God was helping me spiritually, not because I was perfect, but because my heart was pointed. I hated the sin, and yet I constantly gave in to it. And I wanted the light. And I was always trying to grab it. And God took that, as flawed, as screwed up, and as ignorant as it was, He took that and made me into something more with it. It was just a little seed. You know, it was a tiny one, but He didn't need much. He's God. And He grew it. So don't let your sins hold you back. Don't let anything hold you back. And until we come back together in a couple of weeks, man, it'll be the True Image Conference. That'll be a busy weekend for me. I know you guys won't be busy at the True Image Conference. But no, not planning on coming. You guys didn't get your tickets. So we're still going to have Life Group that week. But between here and then.
Oh, it'll be over that Sunday.
Yeah. The Saturday night, really. Between here and then, take time to put everything on pause and to do this every day and ask God questions, fellowship with Him. Pull out your Bible, say, talk to me about this, God. Show me this and listen. Ask Him about questions in your life. And listen, sometimes you don't want to ask questions because you're afraid of the answers. But I've asked God, hey, God, I've been believing You for this. Why haven't I seen it? You know, He spoke to me recently, just yesterday, about something I had been praying about and hadn't seen. And He gave me some clear instructions. I said, now, God, I'm asking You for what's good. You're not hiding this from me. I'm not asking anything stupid. Well, why am I not seeing it? He said, Chad, it's a little far out there. You need to make a first step. Here's your first step. I was like, okay, all right, I got it. I'm not ready. This is a little bigger than my faith can handle. I understand. What's my first step? He said this. I said, all right. All right. See, God, He wants to. He gave me a little step. And listen, it's not even a step, but it's difficult to take. I'm more happy to take it. But that little step is going to help me. It's going to help me into those bigger things. And this is cool. As I take those steps, He's going to be able to love me more. As I begin to become to know Him in the area of faith better. He's going to begin to love me like He's always wanted to, but I can't receive it. He's going to begin to love me more. I'm looking forward to it. But that came because I stopped and asked God, tell me about this. I know You want to love me in this area and I'm not seeing it. What's the deal? He said, here's the deal, Chad. What father does it teach his children? You know, Or I should say good father. There are probably many fathers that don't teach their children. That's one of the very big struggles about the world today is we all know God by the way we were raised, either with or without a father. It's very difficult. I lucked out in that area because my dad was a wonderful dad and still is today. So I understand God very well. I never had any reason to misunderstand him, fortunately. Most people don't get that. I did. But anyway, I throw that out to you guys, 2 weeks, to take time and begin to commune with God. Intentional and planned, just like a date. You can't say, hey, let's go out on a date, and say, when and where? I don't know. I guess if we're at the same place at the same time, we'll know. Now, that's just dumb. We all know that's dumb. You need to set a place, you need to set a time, and you need a plan. And hold to it. Don't stand God up. He's going to show up all dressed up for the date, and you ain't going to be there. Don't do it now. Anyway, I'll throw that out to you guys. Y'all want to add anything in there?